Okay, we'll go ahead and call this meeting of the Downtown Daybreak PID number one board to order. We want to welcome everybody here and make a record of attendance for the recording. So let's have everyone call out their names and let's start with the board members.
Eric Carlson.
Mike Kunkel.
Julie Rambo.
David Quant.
Ben Becker, Piper Sandler.
Brendan Campbell from Pinnacle Consulting.
Okay, that's everyone I see on the call. I'm Matt Entz with Snow, Jensen, and Reese District Council, and we also have Christy Barker at the anchor location. Christy, is there anyone present there besides
No.
you?
Nope.
Okay, thank you. So let's jump right into the public hearing then. And just by way of introduction, this public hearing was previously scheduled when the board adopted a resolution authorizing the issuance of bonds. Legally, we're required to have a public hearing to give the public the opportunity to come and comment on that authorization if they choose to. Does anyone have any questions before we open the public hearing?
No.
Okay, board, I would look for a motion to open the public hearing then.
Eric Carlson, motion to open the public hearing.
Mike Kunkel, I'll second the motion.
Okay, thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
That's unanimous. The public hearing is now open. Just to confirm again for the record, no one else present in your location, gentlemen and lady, members of the public?
Correct.
Okay, Christy, the same. No one's arrived since we checked a minute ago.
Right.
Okay, seeing no one from the public to comment, board, we look for a motion to close the public hearing.
Eric Carlson, motion to close the public hearing.
Mike Kunkel, I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
And that's unanimous. Thank you. So moving on, we want to approve the board meeting minutes from the meeting held February 20th. I can put those up on the screen if you'd like me to. Otherwise, we'd entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
I'll motion to approve the minutes from the previous meeting.
I'll second.
And you'll have to tell me who that was that made the motion.
I made the motion.
And Eric Carlson seconded.
Okay, thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I broke the streak.
Just got to change it up a little bit.
All right. So that motion is approved and the minutes are approved. We'll now go to our action items, which is to consider approval of the 2026 tentative budget. Brendan, do you want to take this?
Yes. Right. I should be sharing a copy of the budget. Is that
I can
coming
see it.
Through? Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And before I dig into the numbers, just to give you a little bit of context of what we're doing and accomplishing today. So as a government entity, we are required to adopt a budget each year. And there is a process by which we have to go through the approval of a tentative budget, which is, we'll call it a draft budget. It's tentative. Allow the public to see that, comment on that, and then come back at a later date with a public hearing where they can give public hearing input on that. And so there's multiple parts to this process. What we're accomplishing today is the approval of the tentative budget, which is, it's not a final budget. It's just what it is saying. It's tentative, and then we'll go through that public process afterwards. So these numbers can change and they can adjust from today until final adoption. But even when we get done with that final adoption, the board can at any time, if there is a need, bring back that budget and go through a similar public hearing process and amend the budget if there is a need to do that. The budget format that we'll be walking through today is a modified accrual basis of accounting, or often referred to as governmental fund accounting, where we take everything and put it in the fund basis of accounting. The format also, you'll note, has columns for 2024 and 2025, even though the district had no activity or maybe even didn't exist at that point in time. That is the required format by the state. So even though it may be silly to have a bunch of zeros, we still do show that and have that included. The numbers that I have included in the 2026 tentative budget are based off, well, the most recent financial numbers that Benj had available as of last Friday. So, these numbers change and adjust. What I would say is we run with what we have now, right? The best numbers available. And we'll walk through those, approve those as tentative. But before we adopt that final budget, my preference would be that we have the pricing accomplished so we know what the final pricing is and then build those final numbers into the final budget before we do that final adoption and submit them to the state. All that being said, before I dig into the numbers, any questions? All right, hearing none. All right, on your screen, I have showing here the Capital Project Fund. And this is where a lot of the activity happens when you issue the bonds. When you look at the middle of the page, there's an Other Sources and Uses of Funds section. This is where we see the bond issuance transaction, and I'm obviously looking at the 2026 tentative column. But what you'll note there is bond proceeds of $82,975,000. And so we see those monies come into the district, and then we start to see the outflows of those money. Within the uses of that section, we have our cost of issuance, which is the monies used to pay for the actual accomplishment of the bond issuance. There is a set aside of some working capital to cover administrative costs, and that's listed there. And then there's also a transfer of certain reserves, required reserves, and capitalized interest that needs to be set aside at closing. And those are transferred to the debt service fund. And so after we finish the capital projects fund, we will look at the general fund and the debt service fund to see those activities. But you'll see cost of issuance at about 2.4 million. The general fund for the administration costs about 164,000. And then the transfer to the debt service fund of roughly 23.3 million. And what that nets out, that net other sources and uses, is $57,068,542. And that is then what is available for project costs. And so when you look above the other sources and uses to the expenditures section, there's a capital outlay number. We've estimated some interest earnings on the monies. So those interest earnings plus those net proceeds from the bonds. We are budgeting roughly $58 million available for capital outlay to reimburse and to reimburse the developer for public infrastructure or to pay directly for public infrastructure. One note, I did mention that there is interest earnings. All of these monies, when the bonds are issued, they are held with a trustee, and that trustee holds these monies in interest-bearing accounts. And the interest earned on those accounts need to be used for the purpose of the monies where they're being held. So if you have capital project money and you have interest earnings on it, those interest earnings have to be used to pay for capital project monies or capital project expenses. All right. Any questions there?
Is there a detailed schedule on the cost of issuance 2.4? We have that elsewhere.
I don't have that with me. The number 2.4 million came from the summary schedules that Benj had.
Okay.
Benj would
I
have
can,
those
yeah,
details.
I can send you that. Yep.
Great. Thank you. One more quick question. If we are able to get the bonds issued and within, I'll make up a term, 30 days, we are able to petition to the trustee to release those funds to the developer, the interest would just be reduced accordingly. Is that correct?
Yes. Ultimately, if you already have costs in place and there's a very immediate disbursement for those costs, yeah, I mean, there would be virtually no interest. It would,
Thank you.
absolutely. All right, then moving to the debt service fund. What you noted in the capital projects fund, or what I noted, was there was a transfer of roughly $23.3 million from the bond issuance to the debt service fund. So you can see those monies coming in under the other sources and uses section. In addition, it is anticipated or modeled that we would have some tax increment generated and received in 2026, and so we included that within the budget. You can see here the 507,000 and the 30,000 numbers. Now these monies will sit as well in interest-bearing accounts, and so estimate interest of those monies on hand at being $672,000 roughly, which puts about $24.5 million into the debt service fund. Now these monies are restricted solely for the repayment of the bonds, and the makeup of those monies and why they're being set aside, you can see down below, and there's this components of ending fund balance. Of the 24.5 million, 15.5 of that will be capitalized interest, which is the payment of the bonds to support the payment of the bonds for the first 1 to 3 years of the issuance. And then there's also a debt service reserve requirement built into the bonds, and so those monies are set aside. And then we have the bond fund, which is essentially the monies that we're earning or that we receive from that tax increment being set aside for bond payment. Now, one item of note under expenditures, you do not see any expenses in the debt service fund in 2026. The first scheduled bond payment is in March of 2027. And so there would be no expenditures in this fund in 2026, but we would start to see those monies flow out beginning in 2027. All right, and then moving up to the general fund. So the general fund, this is where we have the general administrative costs of the district, accounting, your audit services. As a district, you will be required to go through a financial statement audit each year. We don't need to accomplish that for 2025. Because there was no activity, but next year and forward, we will need to have that. But then there's also insurance the district's required to have, as well as you have your legal and district management costs. So the monies that are available for those costs, you can see there's a transfer from the bond issuance from that capital projects fund to that $164,000. And that's essentially to cover administrative costs for, again, the first 1 to 3 years of after the bond issuance. The indenture of trust does allow for year one, 2026, $50,000 with an escalator each year of monies that can be available for administrative costs. So what I did was simply matched the expenditures to align with what was allowed in the indenture. We will not be having a financial statement audit, as I mentioned, in 2026. The numbers I have in there for accounting and legal and district management are more plug numbers to get to that $50,000, but both of our services are billed on an hourly basis. You'll see those invoices every month and approve those as a board. And we would use what is needed to accomplish the compliance and the day-to-day activity. But these numbers aren't necessarily pegged to expected costs, but are more budget placeholders to align with that indenture allowance.
And I'll just say on the legal / district management costs, unless there's something unexpected comes up, we're probably more likely to come in the 15,000 to 18,000 range. That covers our legal services plus Michael and Christie's management administrative support. So there'll be some wiggle room in this the first year. Obviously, the second year, there'll be the additional audit cost as well in there. So.
Yeah, and similarly on the accounting side, year one where we don't have the audit, I mean, I could see this being as low as $7,500 and as much as maybe $12,000, $13,000, somewhere in there, depending on the activity and the number of requisitions and different things that the district might go through. One added note when it comes to these budgets, so from a statutory standpoint, a district or a government entity cannot spend money that it has not budgeted for. And so we do want this budget to be representative of the activity that's anticipated, but we also want to set the budget such that it's not so tight that we're going to go over budget and have to come back and amend this all the time or be non-compliant with state requirements, spending money that we didn't budget for. And so that's why, for example, in the administrative fund, just set it at that 50,000, even if that's not the expectation. We just want to make sure that we set the budget an amount that we won't exceed. Any questions on the tentative budget as presented today? All right, hearing none. Matt, you're running the show. I'll turn the time back over to you to run us through the motions of approvals, et cetera.
Okay, great. And maybe the one thing I would add is just for the board's information, for 2027, we'll go through this same process, but we'll start, we'll have a board meeting in November of this year to adopt a tentative budget for 2027, and then come back in December to have the public hearing and do the final budget. And that'll be the schedule that we follow going forward, is sort of a November, December time frame for each budget adoption. So anyway, if there's no questions, board, I'd invite a motion to approve the tentative budget.
Kirk Carlson, motion to approve the tentative budget.
Mike Kunkel, second the motion.
Okay, we have a motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
And that is unanimous. Thanks, gentlemen. That is everything we have on the agenda today. Does anybody have anything else that warrants discussion? Any final questions? Okay. If not, we would look for a motion to adjourn.
Eric Carlson, motion to adjourn.
Mike Kunkel, I will second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Yes.
Thank you. Appreciate it.